desk, not a thing in the house had been disturbed. Even Suzanne's purse, which she had left upon the writing desk, was found upon an adjacent table, with its contents untouched. It was obvious that the thief had come with a set purpose, which rendered the crime even more mysterious, because why did he assume so great a risk for such a trifling object? The only clue the professor could furnish was the strange incident of the preceding evening. He declared, "The young man was greatly provoked at my refusal, and I had an idea that he threatened me as he went away." But the clue was a vague one. The shopkeeper could not throw any light on the affair. He did not know either of the gentlemen. As to the desk itself, he had purchased it for 40 francs at an executor's sale at Chevreuse, and believed he had resold it at its fair value. The police investigation disclosed nothing more. But Monsieur Gerbois entertained the idea that he had suffered an enormous loss. There must have been a fortune concealed in a secret drawer, and that was the reason the young man had resorted to crime. "My poor father, what would we have done with that fortune?" asked Suzanne. "My child, with such a fortune, you could make a most advantageous marriage." Suzanne sighed bitterly. Her aspirations soared no higher than her cousin Philippe, who was indeed a most deplorable object. And life in the little house at Versailles was not so happy and contented as of yore. 2 months passed away. Then came a succession of startling events, a strange blending of good luck and dire misfortune. On the first day of February, at 5:30, Monsieur Gerbois entered the house, carrying an evening paper, took a seat, put on his spectacles, and commenced to read. As politics did not interest him, he turned to the inside of the paper. Immediately his attention was attracted by an article entitled, "Third Drawing of the Press Association Lottery. Number 514, Series 23, draws 1,000,000. The newspaper slipped from his fingers. The walls swam before his eyes, and his heart ceased to beat. He held number 514, Series 23. He had purchased it from a friend to oblige him, without any thought of success, and behold, it was the lucky number. Quickly he took out his memorandum book. Yes, he was quite right. The number 514, Series 23, was written there, on the inside of the cover. But the ticket? He rushed to his desk to find the envelope box in which he had placed the precious ticket. But the box was not there, and it suddenly occurred to him that it had not been there for several weeks. He heard footsteps on the gravel walk leading from the street. He called, "Suzanne! Suzanne!" She was returning from a walk. She entered hastily. He stammered in a choking voice, "Suzanne, the box of envelopes." "What box?" "The one I bought at the Louvre one Saturday. It was at the end of that table." "Don't you remember, Father? We put all those things away together."
"When?"
"The evening. You know, the same evening."
"But where? Tell me quick, where?"
"Where? Why, in the writing desk."
"In the writing desk that was stolen?"
"Yes."
"Oh, mon Dieu, in the stolen desk."
He uttered the last sentence in a low voice, in a sort of stupor. Then he seized her hand, and in a still lower voice he said,
"It contained 1,000,000, my child."
"Ah, Father, why didn't you tell me?" she murmured naively.
1,000,000, he repeated. "It contained the ticket that drew the grand prize in the press lottery."
The colossal proportions of the disaster overwhelmed them, and for a long time they maintained a silence that they feared to break. At last Suzanne said,
"But, Father, they will pay you just the same."
"How? On what proof?"
"Must you have proof?"
"Of course."
"And you haven't any?"
"It was in the box."
"In the box that has disappeared?"